See, we started our own broadcast, and we call it the Player Podcast. Stomp down on the hating ass, Player Podcast. Hey, see, we started our own broadcast, and we call it the Player Podcast. Stomp down on the hating ass, Player Podcast.
Yeah,
hey, bro. Hey, Jot.
Yo.
Hey, Jot, what's going on, man? Hey, I just got another booking while I was on the phone with you, bro.
That's dope. Yeah, that'd be dope, running, man. That'd be running. So, do you recommend it?
Yeah, I recommend it, man. It's from Monday. It's another 5-day booking, man. I mean, that's like, honestly, when it comes to like the longer duration trips, that's the best for you because it's less time that you have to. I don't want to rental every day, right? I'd rather 3-day trip, 5-day trip, 7-day trip, or longer. The turnover, I only have to turn over the car one time, you know, so you get to maximize how passive your income is. But another 5-day booking, and it's going on a 5-day tonight, man. God is good, man.
Yeah, that's dope, man. That's dope. Yeah, it seemed like ever since you hit the go button on that, it's been running.
Yeah, man, it's pretty nice, man. It's pretty. I'm not gonna lie. I'm actually considering picking up another whip. I don't know if I want to stay in the Volkswagen family, if I want to transition to maybe an Audi, like an Audi midsize SUV.
Yeah, get some some luxury. Can you charge more for luxury cars?
You can. Yeah, people with luxury. So, like, I don't know if you consider the Volkswagen a luxury car. I don't know if you would really consider the Audi a luxury car, but people have like Mercedes, BMW, Teslas. Yeah, man, they charge it's called premium. They charge a premium price.
Nice.
How was your week, though? What's going on with you, brother?
The week was long, man, and full of just studying, really. Just studying, man, trying to get prepared to make this next move, man. You know, it's looking like something I want to do. So but yeah, other than that, I've been chilling, bro. Just you know, chilling with the wife and the kids. Doing the family thing, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. Bro. Yeah. So we were supposed to have a guest on here, man. I ain't heard back from him yet. So we can still run with the title though. I titled it Uncommon Information. Mm-hmm. So I know it's on the fly, but while we do the word of the week, maybe you could think of something that you know is some uncommon information. You know what I'm saying? Especially if it's useful.
Yeah, for sure.
So, look, here's the word of the week. And this word is not really uncommon to me. I've heard this word a lot, but I don't know if people know exactly what it means.
Okay.
So, let me pull it up real quick. Yeah.
I've seen this word. I've heard this word, but I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't really know like the exact. If you ask me like what is serendipity, I think serendipity is a positive word, but I actually don't know what the word's definition truly is.
So one of the definitions I found they're all pretty much the same, but this one says the act of finding something valuable or interesting when you're not looking for it. So a form of luck, form of good grace, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
I think I like that definition. I like when that happens to me.
So like I can maybe say, you know, I went to work on Friday and I had a serendipitous day. Would that be right? I really wasn't looking forward to starting my day. Like, man, I'm tired. But I'm actually, you know, getting to work and logging in and starting my day. Yeah. I found it to be how would you say that? Serendipitous?
Yeah, serendipitous. That's what it sounds right. Yeah,
had it's a good day, man. Friday was a good day.
Yeah, I definitely. I ain't gonna say I have not had a serendipitous week, but it's been an interesting week. I have came across information that I do appreciate that I now have. Dominique, what's going on, my brother?
Okay, sorry. I'm bad with technology. I suck, but I'm here.
It's all good. Thank you for joining us. Yeah, we appreciate it, man. Much love. Much love. Look, so I wanted you to get into, man, uncommon legal information. Anything you can think of, even if there's a story you can tell to back up what you're saying or go along with whatever you got to say. That's kind of the point I wanted to bring you on for, man, because you have a lot of knowledge that the common man does not. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, first off, let's have you introduce yourself properly. You know what I'm saying? If you want to tell everybody where you're from and all that and what you do, that'll give us some little background information, your accomplishments and things like that.
I am from Colorado. I'll say that. I do work involving the courts. I won't say my exact title because I don't know how much I can allude to that on social media. But you're aware of what I do without saying it because I sent you the picture. Yeah, I have an associate's in criminal justice. I have a bachelor's of applied science in criminal justice and criminology, sociology minor. I actually graduated with honors. I'm a part of a actual National Honor Society. So, yeah, that's
all right.
Pretty much.
So let's get into the term criminal justice. What exactly does that entail? You know what I mean? What's the basis of criminal justice?
So I think part of the issue that I run into is people assume that it has to do with the police. It doesn't. I've never said I wanted to be a police officer. I don't. There are other jobs in the police field that have absolutely nothing to do with walking the streets with the gun. I want to make that very clear. I'll say this again.
Okay.
Just because I majored in criminal justice does not mean that I have any damn thing to do with the police. We also help victims of crime. One of the terms that there's victim advocate. So they go to courts with the victims, they help them with resources, things like that. And then there's a term that we call victimology, right? So you have criminology, which is the study of criminals and how society deals with them and different patterns and stuff like that. And then there's victimology that deals with victims and how society deals with them. But you have to keep in mind, victims also have patterns. So I'll give you a prime example. There's something called victim precipitation. So there are people that will unknowingly put themselves in situations which will make them a victim. Such as, it's probably not a good idea to be walking through a dark alley at 3 a.m. by yourself.
Since their fault sometimes.
No. I'm saying certain things and certain lifestyles can put you at more of being a risk. Even being a college student, you're at risk of something happening to you. Prostitution, there is a high level of victimology or somebody being victimized, raped, killed, robbed with that. Somebody being affiliated with a gang can put you at risk of becoming a victim of something. And I will say this, even if you're no longer a part of that involvement, you can still be at risk of being a victim of a crime. The people that always feel like they have to beat somebody's ass, you're putting yourself at risk of being a victim. Like, we call those hotheads. People that are hotheads, people that like to fight, you're at risk of being a victim of a crime.
Right? Somebody got to defend themselves against you?
No. You just go out, you do something wrong, there's a confrontation, trivial confrontation. What I mean by that is something small. You stepped on my Jordans, you looked at me the wrong way, why are you looking at my girl? And then there's a confrontation and that person ends up being a victim of a crime and they end up losing their life because of that.
So does victimology discuss anything when it comes to people victimizing themselves?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So there was a guy who actually did a study on women who were going out to clubs. And I'm going to say this before I go into detail. I'm not at all saying that women deserve what happened to them. I'm not saying that at all. And I'm not saying for somebody to go out to victimize a woman who, I don't know, may be flirting, who may be drunk. I'm not saying that at all. So I want to make that very clear before I say what I'm about to say. There was a study that was done. I don't know what the guy's name was. He went and basically observed behaviors of women who like would go out and go to clubs and things like that. And he basically said that the perpetrators misinterpreted their behavior. So the perpetrator might have interpreted her behavior as flirting or that she wanted to be intimate with him, or she's dressed a certain way. And so because of that, his interpretation, he, in a sense, took advantage of her. I will also say this, too. The same person that put out that research was made to stop doing that research for this specific reason. Because people felt like he was saying, oh, well, it's your fault. No, that's just saying certain people that are maybe involved in certain things, certain times of the day, things like that, could become victims of crime. Some people are at more risk than other people.
Okay.
There are people that are repeated victims of something. So let somebody say that somebody has already got their house robbed twice. The same shit happens again. There are some people who will, how can I say this, deal with people that has victimized them before. And it's not because they want to be victimized. It's because somebody is so used to trauma, that's all they know. So somebody might seek out somebody who's abusive. It's not on purpose, but
yeah, those spirits are talking to each other. That, in fact, I had watched something yesterday about that. Like a lot of girls who have been sexually abused and shit,
yes,
naturally drawn towards men that have done things like that.
Sexually abused, physically abusive. In fact, a lot of the women that are in pornography more than likely have had some sexual abuse history. I'll say the same thing about the men. Yeah, I'll say it. Somebody else is not going to say it, but those are facts.
Yeah, there's men. There's definitely men that have admitted to shit. Who did I? Did we just watch something where somebody was talking about that shit? Oh, it was. I'll be watching the Corey Holcomb show. That nigga Mark. Yeah, but yeah, man, it happens more often than you think. You know, just because a man.
It's different on, so it's different, like, I feel like as a society, we don't view it as the same, and that's the problem.
It's true. It's true. It gives you cool points and shit.
Women are abusive to men. What men get hit too. Men get degraded too.
They get hit too. Ain't that the truth? So do you think that there is a victim mentality that you can have, you know what I'm saying? So is that what causes people to...
You mean like a mentality of, I want to be a victim all the time?
Not necessarily that, but they just think they're the victim in every situation they're in.
Of course, that exists. That exists. Yes, it does. That definitely exists.
See, that's... It's hard because when shit keeps happening to you, you know what I'm saying? You might really feel like a victim now. You know what I'm saying? You
keep yeah, that's also yeah, that's also true. That's true.
So yeah. You know, I think it's a fine line, man, that it rises.
Yeah, it's a very fine line. It's a very fine line. I guess another prime example would be, so like say you go Christmas shopping, you wouldn't leave $300 worth of Christmas gifts inside of your car where people can see it, would you?
Definitely not.
In a shopping parking lot?
No. Definitely not. Yeah, so that's kind of drawing the attention that you claim you don't want. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of... that we call that victim facilitation. So a person is facilitating their own victimization. It's not on purpose, but
what's going on? What's going on? He said my cousin is going through that right now due to her being molested when she was younger. She's attracted to abusive men. God damn.
So this is what I will tell you.
That's them spirits, nigga.
She needs to get therapy. She has to do the work. It can be fixed. Because there's a theory, and I forgot the theory because I minored in sociology. There were so many theories, it was ridiculous. But it basically says anything that's learned can be unlearned.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely
so, agree. Whatever happened to her, she learned, and that's what she was attracted to, and that's what she knew. However, that behavior can be changed. But I will also tell you this. A person has to want to change. A person has to want the help.
Yeah, real talk. Real talk.
So I got a question for you, Dom. I want to say first and foremost, thank you so much for joining us today, because I don't really think I have anybody in the realm or of expertise that you work in. So a question for me to you would be, how do you best support these individuals who may feel or who may have show that pattern of seeking out the same kind of person who is, you know, going to create a bad situation for them? How can we best support them? How can we help them?
Well, I mean, it depends on the person, but I think don't try your best not to get frustrated and disgusted with this person. And understand that it's not your responsibility to fix them.
That's deep.
A lot of times, we sit here and we have the superhero complex. We think that we can help this person, but in ultimate reality, we're draining our own damn energy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, bro.
I know that because I've done it. I'll share an example with you. I had a long history of being around people that I shouldn't have been around. I didn't have the luxury of living at home with my parents or parent where they paid for everything. I was paying my own rent, my own lights, my own everything. Might not have been the best situation. Might have had to sit on the floor because there was no furniture way, way back then. And I was 18 or 19, right? So I was also in school. The people that I was around were not, I guess, supportive, but also didn't understand what it took to get to school, to go to school. And I had a scholarship where they would have paid for 4 years of school. And they would have been giving you checks as well.
Ooh,
that was gone.
Yeah.
Because I was around the wrong people.
Real talk.
Some of them called me old because I would go to bed at 9 and kick them out of my house.
Well, I'm damn so old.
I'll give you another prime example.
At 8.
Look, I used to.
Look at this comment. I think this goes right in line with what you're saying. What's up, Tamara? Where you been at, girl? But look, she said, knowledge of self assists with this. Understanding that we are not our experiences matters. Majority of us feel powerless, and then we act that way. And then she followed up and said, we don't know how strong our minds are as a whole, nor do we understand how they work. If we did, we'd use thought conditioning on ourselves more.
I would 100% agree. So to the example that the other example I have, I used to always feel the need to allow people to stay with me. That was a way that I guess, got friends, and I used to whether be around people, whether they were bad or disrespectful to me, than want to be by myself. So this person caused me to lose everything. Damn. I had a whole closet full of shoes, whole closet full of clothes, nice furniture. Wasn't as nice as things are now. But everything.
Now, do you think this is a consequence of lack of knowledge of self? You feel like you needed to be around people, or was that an insecurity? You don't want to be alone, or what do you think that stemmed from?
All of the above.
Yeah.
And I think it also could have been possibly trauma related. So, but I lost everything. They didn't help me at all. I had to fend for myself. No, this person didn't pay rent. This person didn't have a job, nothing. And then it ended up being people being in my house that I didn't want there. Things going in my house that I did not want. So I feel like a lot of times, too, people will try to come up in your house, you know, when they see you doing better than them. You know, you think they can do whatever they want, bring whoever, whatever to your house and do things with them, smoke cigarettes in your house, drink, maybe even it could be as simple as walking on your carpet with their shoes when you've asked them not to.
See?
So my thing is, I said that to say this, people's energy, like now I'm very like big on energy because I don't want certain people around me. I don't want certain behaviors around me.
Yeah.
And so now I know, like, if I don't want certain things going down in my house, it's my house. I can tell you that. And if you don't like it, you can dismiss yourself. That's fine with me.
What do you think you were able to do to help you get to that point, to where you're not so, you know what I mean, just want somebody around and things like that? Like, you know, what was there some mental exercises you did, you know, some self-help?
Mental exercises, therapy, working on getting to the deep root of the issue as to why things were the way that they were. Okay. Having somebody, talking to somebody that validated me, that didn't dismiss what I told them. And I think I'll say this too. A lot of the times people won't validate other people's trauma, whether it be a man, whether it be a woman. And I've noticed that a lot. And I'll say that specifically for the Black community. Like, I feel like sometimes an older generation, they don't want to discuss the things that might have happened to you.
Give an example. You saying like, you know, like we was talking about how Mike brought up his cousin getting molested. She talking about shit like that where they don't want to talk about the uncle.
So I'll say this. Without going into detail, I've told you some things, James, via text, about certain situations, and I try to tell. I reported it, but well, what if they come to God? I don't care.
Yeah, no.
Whether they come to God, I don't care whether they apologize to me or not. This is something like, yes, I'm fixing things and getting things together, but you don't forget things like that. So regardless of whether they come to God or not, or somebody that had no business being involved in the situation, that you don't have a close relationship with me to speak on me, you tell me that I don't want somebody who's weak around me.
Okay. Now, do you think that situation was handled properly? You think it could have been dealt with differently?
I think that there are people that need to learn their place and keep their mouth shut.
I'm talking about as far as the people that were supposed to protect you. That's what I'm referring to.
It should have been handled a lot better, and it wasn't. It wasn't really handled at all.
Okay. I know you don't want to go into detail, but what can you get? Because there might be somebody who's in that position right now, you know, to where they
can... It had to do with the foster care system not properly doing what they should have done for me. I spoke to you somewhat about seizures, right? Because I used to have them. I don't have them anymore. People, including case managers, did not think that they were real. They thought that I was just doing it to be evasive or get out of things, or according to them, it brought me attention.
Okay. But I mean, it's kind of hard to, a seizure is a serious thing, man. Like,
That's what I said. Yeah. But here's the other thing too. When you go to a doctor and you explain things a certain way, that's part of the problem. When you leave out certain symptoms and you tell them things that are not relevant to getting someone diagnosed properly, that's a problem.
Damn.
Hold on. I will say it like this. Let's say that you have to take one of your children to the hospital. You decide to tell the doctor, well, I was yelling at one of my kids because they got suspended. They fell on the floor and became unconscious. You telling that to your doctor, what do you think their reaction is going to be?
So you saying, so all right, something happened like that, right? This week, one of my kids, man, we put up some new fans. And these badass kids, man, got the fan on full blast. They climbing and jumping off shit. And one of them then got the head split open by the fan. Blood everywhere. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was an ugly scene. But I guess I didn't go to the doctor. My wife took my daughter the next day, and she said he was kind of like, why you ain't bring her yesterday? You talking like that? Like, why you ain't, you know, right away? I mean, shit.
No, the doctors weren't talking like that, but like then I had one person that was sighing and rolling their eyes their entire damn time while they were explaining things to the doctor. So I'm saying, if you're not explaining something properly, like nobody said I was having mood swings. Nobody said that I was having severe headaches to the point to where all I could do is lay in the dark. Nobody said that I stopped eating. Nobody said that after me having a seizure, I wouldn't remember shit.
Yeah, I can say from experience, man, seizures are, it's like a violent event. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to describe, but I've had seizures before, you know what I'm saying?
Then you have people telling certain things where you don't remember, and it's like, I don't remember doing that. Or I've had situations where people lied on me to their significant other. She didn't ask any questions, but now that I'm older, now I know what he was doing or trying to do.
So, okay, I mean, all right, hold on, we got somebody else trying to tap in. Low Money. It's Low Money, man. Introduce your partner, my friend. What's going down, man?
What's up, man?
What up, Logan?
What's up? Can y'all hear me?
Yeah. We hear you.
What's up, man? Sorry, I don't got my camera on. It's the crack of dawn where I'm at.
Nah, you good, man. You good.
We're having a conversation about trauma, but real quick, introduce yourself.
What's up, man? My name is Low. Logan, but y'all can call me Low. I am a father, a soldier, and newly graduate from college with a degree in computer animation.
Congratulations.
Appreciate it. And apparently I have some opinions that are worth talking about on stream. So
nice.
I was invited to come talk to you brothers today.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Let's read this comment real quick, and then let's touch on what was said. So my boy Mike, he said, we grew up in a culture to where we live off perception and how people view us as a person, as family, et cetera. We don't like to be viewed as weak. I agree especially when you got shit, when you got people behind you, man, that you're protecting and taking care of. You know what I'm saying?
But I'm also going to say this too. That's also something we were taught. That's not something we just picked up and learned. And again, and I'm not talking about anybody's family or anybody's family situation, but I think for me, I'll say this, I had to find a way to get through certain stuff. I had to kind of in a sense, in certain situations, fake a smile. I couldn't speak about certain things. So I think, we want to be viewed in a certain way, or we don't want to be perceived as weak, but I also feel like that's something that we were taught. And then that was taught to us, and then we pass it on to other people.
I mean, I guess I can agree with that, because we all do have weak points and, you know, weaknesses. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, sometimes they just, you know, you're attacked in your weak spot. You know what I mean? Shit happens, man.
Hey, Lo, what's your perspective on this comment? What do you think about us and how we don't want to be viewed as weak as men? As let's talk about African-American men that don't want to be viewed as weak. What are your thoughts?
I think my thoughts are no man wants to be viewed as weak, especially in the circles where he's in work circles and family circles where he's supposed to be, like, you know, competent and strong. I think conversations like this and circles like this are extremely important for men. I tell, especially black men, I tell all my friends that I have, I'm like, yo, listen, man, your family and your job doesn't care about any of the, I know it sounds kind of harsh, but they don't care about any of the things that we're going through. They don't care. And it's not their job to care. But these circles right here are extremely important, because this is where we can get told. We can be vulnerable with each other, and, you know, we can kind of work those things out. You know, and we're gonna get the real, like, we're gonna tell each other and be honest, like, hey man, I need you to tighten up. These things aren't, you know, this is not as bad as you think it is. Or we're gonna be able to be vulnerable with each other. And say, hey man, I'm sorry that happened to you. If you need anything, I'm here. You see what I'm saying? So that's kind of what I think. One thing we learned really, really quickly as men is that the world doesn't owe us understanding. Yeah. It doesn't. That doesn't mean that we don't deserve a safe space to be able to express ourselves.
And so then that's the other thing, too. I think as men, we need to tell each other, like, hey, I'm sorry that happened to you, instead of toughen up. Like, and I think that saying that is better than, well, it's, I guess, you need to toughen up. It's not as bad as you think. May not be meant to be harmful. You may not mean it that way. You may be underneath the surface trying to say, I'm sorry that happened to you. I'm here if you need to talk, but that's not how it came across. So if you can be vulnerable and say, well, hey, I'm sorry that happened to you. I'm here if you need to talk. That's better. And I think that shows a strong point as a man, like being able to be vulnerable, but also saying, hey, you didn't deserve that, or I'm sorry that happened to you.
I think that there's a, I'll give an example, because we know we as men get told, like, you know, especially in this day and age, that everybody's special and everybody deserves a trophy. I'll give you an example. Like, so when I'm talking to Eric and we're having a conversation, he's going to let me know. He's going to be like, yo man, listen, I'm going to need you to, like, this is not what you think it is. You need to be more grateful. Or he's going to say, hey man, listen, that's rough. He's going to keep it real with me. And he gonna tell me when I need to stop, you know, being a little wuss about the situation, you know what I'm saying, and man up. Or he's gonna tell me, and that's having a trusted friend, and being able to, you know, if you got somebody that's always crying about nothing, then
which I'd rather have somebody that will tell me, like, how it is, instead of telling me what I want to hear, because sometimes I may actually not be in my right space, and I may be, I guess, making a mountain out of a molehill, as they say. So I would definitely agree, because it's not always about being told what you need to hear or being a yes person. And I think that a lot of times people run into issues because somebody has always told them yes. And then when you're told no, or this isn't right, or this is not what you think it is, then it presents an issue. Agreed. So I definitely agree with you.
Yeah. That shit was powerful, especially when Lo, you said the world don't owe you no understanding. God damn. Feel me? That's why I don't do that. I don't do it. The people that I don't truly know, nigga, don't worry about what's wrong with me. You know what I'm saying? If I don't feel like talking, I just don't feel like talking. It's not your business. You're not in my world like that. Right. You're just in this portion of my life. That's it. At this job. Well,
that's what, James, that goes back to what I was saying. So apparently this person's family member had told them that I had disclosed some things to her. And I know that based on the way that this person came at me. And so it's like, I don't know you like that. I'm not around you like that. I haven't spoken to you in I don't know how many years or decades. Don't come talking to me like that. I'm not your child. I'm not related to you. I know my place, and you need to stay in yours.
Yeah, right. That sensitive information is for those who are sensitive to my well-being and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? It's just not for everybody. Like you said, there's people that be happy that you're down. You know what I mean? And that's one real reason why I cut it down at work, man. I ain't talking to nobody. Now, last week, I don't even think I spoke to you, one person.
Hey, yo, Jock. Hey, Jock. Hey, Jock. Yo, I wanted to pivot the conversation because I know we had titled it Uncommon Information. And we wanted to tap into your expertise, Dom, with regards
to, you know, the realm. I will give you an example. Let me dig back into the archives for a second. So there were situations where women who were, I think the proper term is Native American, sorry if I offended anybody, where they were getting sexually assaulted on their reservations. So there are two Supreme Court cases, because people talk about double jeopardy, which means you can't be charged twice for the same crime, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there was a Supreme Court case, I think it was called Oklahoma v. McGirt, which was decided in 2020. Long story short, there was a guy that pretty much assaulted his wife's or somebody's grandchild that was a four-year-old, right? And he couldn't be prosecuted by the states because it occurred on a reservation, right?
That makes sense.
The eastern half of Oklahoma was never disestablished. So there are tribes in the eastern half of Oklahoma that are still Indian country. Congress is the only entity that can disestablish a tribe. Let's make that clear. So he ended up being prosecuted federally because it's federal territory. However, there was another case where something happened, where somebody who did not live on a reservation assaulted somebody on a reservation and tried to say that, well, you can't prosecute me. I don't live on a reservation. Yes, they can. And they sure did. He was subjected to state and federal charges.
Let me ask you a question, Dom. If I'm speeding and I get pulled over, what is the proper way? How can I best protect myself against a police officer in the sense of, like, not giving out, you know, involuntary information? Like, you know, I want to still protect myself, but still interact with this police officer the correct way. What does that look like? How should that interaction look like?
I'm going to tell you this. Be polite to the officer, but when they ask you, do you know how fast you were going? Keep your mouth shut and say, I would like my ticket, please. Because if you say, oh, well, yeah, I didn't realize I was going 60, you just told on yourself. So
right.
I would just say, sit there, be calm. If he asks for your ID, take it, give it to him. I would also say, make sure you're not in something before you get out there on the road. Make sure your tags are not expired. Make sure you don't have anything illegal in your car.
So
when you see lights and sirens behind you, you pull over.
I wish I could think of this dude's name or this dude's page, man. There's this dude, he goes around causing trouble and shit. You know what I'm saying? He basically,
I think I've seen those pages.
I would also say too that if you don't believe that the person is an actual police officer, because we've had this happen, you have the right to get on the phone and call the police to see if they've sent an officer out. You can drive to a police station or a wall-lighted area.
Okay, so let me ask you this. We're going to get a little more serious. So let's say you feel like you was wrongly pulled over. Let's say they got guns out on you. Let's say you scared. Let's say you got a gun. When are you allowed to protect yourself? Because it seemed like you got to just sit there and get killed if they feel like it's your time to die. You know what I'm saying? So when is where is the line that they need to cross for somebody to pop their ass?
You don't pull out a gun and a police officer. However, I will go a little bit back to 2020 with the whole situation with Breonna Taylor. Because a lot of people are unaware of the whole circumstance. And listening to what Candace Owens said kind of pissed me off a little bit. So,
she be trolling.
There is in Kentucky, I believe, something called Stand Your Ground, which any place you have the right to be, you can use lethal force. It's not like make my day long, Colorado, and I will explain the difference between the two.
Colorado has a make my day law.
So make my day is different than stand your ground.
Explain the difference.
Make my day, specific, for example, in Colorado, if you feel like you're in imminent danger and the person crosses the threshold of your house, so that means they walk through that front door, you can use lethal force. You do not have to retreat, which means you do not have to try to run away. This does not apply to your car. This does not apply to somebody that's in jail. This does not apply if you're sleeping in your car. This doesn't apply if you're sleeping in your shed. When I say cross the threshold of your house, you walk through my front door.
Okay, so what about the law that says your car is an extension of your home? There's a law where you can pretty much be armed in your car. Now, I don't know the specifics of protecting yourself and somebody else, but I would assume that.
If you're doing something in the defense of somebody else, you're correct. However, you can, as long as you have a concealed carry license to carry. But this is the other thing. So back to what I was saying. There was actually a case where a guy saw someone trying to break into his car. He shot and killed him. You cannot do that. He tried to use the make my day law. It does not apply.
Where was the car?
It was either parked on the street or it was parked in the driveway.
Oh, damn. Yeah, what if it's in the garage though? Because, man, look, if I catch you in my garage, that's
well, there was a situation where there were some kids. I'm sure you heard about this because this was in Green Valley Ranch a couple of years ago, where there were kids climbing over this guy's fence and they were stealing his marijuana plants. He shot and killed them. You can't do that either.
So the backyard doesn't count, it has to be inside your home.
Inside your house.
What is stand your ground now? Tell me what stand your ground is.
So, like within the Trayvon Martin case, and I'll get to the Breonna Taylor case in a second, that's basically anywhere you have the right to be. If you feel threatened or your life is in danger, you can use deadly force. Whether that be in your car, your garage, your job, wherever. So, what that means, no, they don't. No, we have made my day.
Okay.
So what that means is that stand your ground, like, picture this. There's a line in the sand, or a line, you have a line on the sidewalk. You're arguing with someone. I don't have to leave. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm standing right here.
So in Colorado, in that situation, what's the smart thing to do? I mean, if you feel like if you retreat and they're going to follow you, I mean, what are you supposed to do?
So if you're running into your house and trying to lock the door or something and they come in, you can shoot them.
But what if I'm at a park? You know what I'm saying? And they can, you know, I walk there. You know what I mean? They can follow me home. You know?
What if I'm if somebody follows you, like, into your house, like, say they're following you home and then they are able to get inside right along with you, you can use deadly force if they're not authorized to be there.
But what if I don't want them knowing where I live? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm leaving.
You can't shoot them.
I'm going to create space. So I have to let them follow me all the way home before I can let them know I don't want them to follow me. Outside of telling them, because if once you say something so many times, you know, you got to do something about it. You know what I mean? So it's like, at what point?
I say you get away as fast as you can. Now, I will say, if you feel like your life is in that much danger and they're trying to attack you, you can use deadly force.
Okay. Well, there is a point. And what
but
point
there
is-
has to, but keep in mind, reasonable. Did you feel like this person was an adamant threat? Did you feel like if I didn't take, if I didn't do something, this was going to happen? Prove that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if somebody's just talking shit and saying I'm going to follow you home and you shoot them, then you're shit out of luck. Sorry.
I want to chime in here. I think that what we're talking about is the difference between principles and laws. Like, my principles might not always line up with the laws. I'll give you an example. Like, if anybody does anything to my children, like, on principle, I will gladly sit, you know what I'm saying? I will gladly sit and put away in defense of my children and my family. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, and you have, right, you have the right to do that. That's correct.
But you see what I'm saying, though? Like, so I think that the question should be is, where are my principles, and how far do they align with those laws? We pay lawyers for that. Pay a lawyer, keep bail money if you need it. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it's like the laws are all, they're constantly changing. The law is very, very precise and very, very, what's the word? Very deep, very intricate.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to go in there and you prove it. We pay people for that. You see what I'm saying? So, like, I think it's a principle thing. Like, if you can handle somebody getting in your face and telling you and threatening you, and you don't think it's that serious and you feel like you can walk away, or if you feel threatened, then as a man, I believe, this is my personal opinion, as a man, if they have the means to be able to carry out said threat, then I have the right to be able to defend myself. And whatever happens after that, we're gonna have to let the law handle that, because that's what they're there for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely correct.
There's a principle thing that steps in between them. So we have to understand, like, okay, we say we about that life. I'm not gonna let no cop, no man, or whatever disrespect me. Okay, when the time comes. And we have to stand on that. Are we willing to be able to face those consequences?
I think that's the question. I'm glad that you said that. You brought up that point. You brought up a very good point. So
I'm in a car and I get pulled over, and I feel like that cop is 100% wrong, and I don't have a gun on me. I have to do it by principle. I have to do whatever that cop tells me to, because he got a gun.
Nigga.
I mean, it just is what it, I mean, if we just break it down at the end of the day, like, with one of my combatives instructors used to tell me, he said, if I pull a gun on you, what are you going to do? And the answer is whatever you tell me to do.
Damn.
I got kids.
Yeah. Well, because that's the other thing. To your point, people would say if I was in that situation, I would have done this. No, you wouldn't have.
Those things
you
happen
say that in a blink now, of but you don't know what you would do until you're in that situation, right? Agreed. I feel like that goes back to what you said.
Yeah.
When you're in that situation, then you realize what you're going to do.
Man,
can I interject real quick? Logan, yes. I think because you came in a little bit late, but Dom here, he actually works in the realm of criminal justice, and that's what his degree is in. He has a bachelor's in criminal justice. Okay. So that's why we're talking about these kind of legalities right now. I do want to know real quick, Dom, what's your take on snitching?
Oh, dear Lord. Well, I've never been asked this question before, so I feel like a lot of the times people will go out and do things and then take deals. I've seen it. I'll give you an example. So everybody's up here talking about, well, why can't they charge this person and that person in the R. Kelly case? You want to know why? Because the prosecution knew that if they did not give people immunity, they would not have a case. There are certain details they needed to convict R. Kelly. So I feel like
so you saying they let all them people basically look like they didn't have nothing to do with what he was doing.
The guy that admitted to driving around searching for girls in impoverished neighborhoods.
Okay. All right.
Was given immunity. There were several other people though that were given immunity in order for the prosecution to get information from them.
Yeah. Terrible.
That's the same thing with Tekashi 6ix9ine, right? So I don't know if anyone was aware of this. He put hits out on people.
Mm-hmm. What?
Right? So then they said, oh, well, we'll give you 30 years of life in prison. Mm-hmm. So then he tells. I mean, the way that I look at it is like this. Be very careful who you associate with and the things that you are involved in, simply because not everybody is going to take the rap for you. If it comes to somebody saving themselves, in those situations like that, more than likely, they're going to save themselves before they save you. Bro, that's what I would say about that.
You got to know that, man.
Okay. But I don't think the youngins know that, though. The youngins don't know that.
That's what I will say to you is that when you're out here doing your dirt or doing whatever you're doing, you need to be prepared for the consequences. But if you're doing it with somebody and they get picked up and you get picked up and they're offered a deal, more than likely they're going to take it and pin the shit on you.
God damn.
I'm going to speak from a
look at Whitey Bulger. He was a guy that was, I think, involved in drug smuggling or something big. He was a white guy. There was a movie about him. I don't remember what the name of the movie was. But he murdered multiple people. He would rip out their teeth so that they could not be identified. And so he ended up giving the feds information.
Goddamn. Well, they say most of the crimes get solved because of snitching.
Yeah. Hey, don't they make movies about like rats in our community?
Yep.
Like, you know, you don't think that's like, you think that's strange? You don't think that's strange? Like all the people, like the biggest, like Paid in Full American Gangster. Like, yep. They make movie stars.
Frank Lucas.
Franklin, bro. Yeah. Bro, like, they make movie stars out of the very people that the streets like condemn. That's wild, right?
Shit, crazy.
Like if when Bobby Shmurda came home, he should have been the biggest rapper in the world. Bruh. Like just off like GP, right? Like he stood tall. He didn't rat on his home. He took more time for his homeboy or something like that. If I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
And then he came home, and no tour. No, nothing.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
He was embraced by the community, though.
I mean, yeah. I mean, he did his little rounds, but like, you know, Bobby Shmurda didn't even have a song. He could have did the same songs that he went in for on a tour just to have him back and ace.
Damn, bro.
Meanwhile, Tekashi 6ix9ine still running around. You feel what I'm saying? Like, nobody got to him.
Did y'all
see Tekashi ran up on Meek Mill? Did y'all see that videotape of Tekashi? Tekashi ran
Was that recent, or was that a while back?
That was a little while. It was like a year ago.
It was a couple months ago.
I think I saw that.
He ran up on somebody. Yeah, I remember that. I was like, yeah, whatever. It's nothing but some shit for the internet. That's all that is.
Is Meek Mill a thug though? Meek Mill don't really seem thuggish to me.
Well, that's not the. It's like what you portray. Perception is reality, man.
But I'm also gonna say this too. I'll say this. The reason I just had the reaction I had. If he didn't know that there were no cameras around, that would have never happened. Period. Simple.
Yeah, Mill probably got some.
That's the same thing that I said on your show about Boosie last week. His money is made off of social media. You would not be saying half the shit that you say. You know it. I know that. And if somebody's getting a reaction, okay, well, then it's making me money. So why not?
Right. Real talk.
But back to what I was saying about the thing with Candace Owens and the Breonna Taylor case, right? So Candace Owens claims that she read the transcripts online of that case. She said that they were involved in dealing drugs, blah, 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 blah. I'm sick of black people playing the victim. You can't shoot at the police. They're there to serve and protect, whatever. So, number one, they weren't dealing drugs at all. That's why there were no drugs found in that apartment at all. The police were never supposed to be at her house in the first place. There were police on the opposite side of town who were arresting her ex-boyfriend, I believe. And they served them a no-knock warrant. She said, the boyfriend who was at her house has said, we didn't hear anything. So, a no-knock warrant, as a police officer, I do not have to announce myself. If I feel like you're going to get rid of evidence, or I feel like you're going to be combative or start shooting.
But don't you have to like present a warrant in some way? Like let them know that there was a warrant out for their arrest? Like,
if it's a no-knock warrant, I don't have to tell you anything. Until you're arrested. That's why they got rid of no-knock warrants. So the boyfriend, thinking that somebody was breaking into the house, shot through the door.
Right.
Because he thought somebody was trying to break in. You have the legal right to defend yourself. So when they came in, there were over 32 shots fired. blindly. It was dark, even when there weren't shots going off. If they probably would have gotten her to the hospital instead of letting her lie there on the floor, her life probably would have been saved. She wasn't involved in criminal activity. Yes, she did rent a car for an ex-boyfriend. Yes, somebody was found dead in the rental vehicle.
Damn.
She was never charged in that crime. Neither was the boyfriend.
Her name was on the rental vehicle.
Yes.
I mean, her name was on the rental vehicle, so they had a right to look into her.
Right, they did, which they did, which they, it was never solved. But I'm saying, as far as the whole no-knock warrant for the drugs, the police had no business being there in the first place.
Yeah.
On the other side of town, they were already arresting who they needed to.
He was already in jail.
From the
transcripts from what I read, he was already in, like, he was already locked up. They already had him locked up, threw away the key. He was awaiting to be sentenced. Like, he was already in jail.
Yes. They should have never been there. And actually, what most people don't know is the officers falsified information to even get the warrant. No. So they lied.
So is there a certain criteria that has to be filled in order for it to be a no-knock warrant? Or is it they or do they decide when they get there, like, we're gonna do a no-knock instead of a
from somebody? You would do it before. You have to decide before certain criteria, like certain stuff is for warrants. You have to like have a warrant to in order to like you can't just go in somebody's house and search. I mean, unless it's in plain view. Then that's different. But you can't just go in and search somebody's house. Now, if they ask you, can I search your house? And you tell them yes, then that's different.
Okay. Damn.
But you have to make sure the information on the warrant is correct and accurate and truthful. You sign an affidavit.
I see what you're saying. People screw up.
I want to ask you a question real quick. I don't have too many more of them, but this one really piques my interest because I followed the NBA. Recently, Ja Morant was in Colorado in Denver partying at Shotgun Willie's, and he flashed a gun on his IG Live. He's now suspended indefinitely pending an investigation. And you may not be able to touch on the investigation because obviously it's ongoing. And I'm not sure if you're privy to the information, but I do want to know, why is there an investigation if I show a gun in an IG live? Like, what do you know a little bit about the case? Is it because potentially the gun could be from Memphis because that's where he's from, that's where he lives? Is that what could be the problem?
Was he supposed to have a gun in the first place?
I don't know. I mean, he's a basketball player. Yeah.
I'll say this. I'm not really exactly sure why they're investigating. I'll try to look more into that. However, you probably shouldn't be flashing guns on Instagram, whether you're in the NBA or whatever you're in. You probably shouldn't be flashing guns because at any point in time or anything or drugs or whatever for that matter, because at any time that shit could be used against you. Like if I were in the NBA, I'm not saying he can't have a gun. What the fuck are you doing posting this shit on Instagram for? What are you doing at Shotgun Willie's? You couldn't go to a high-end strip club. You got all that money.
He should be down at Diamond Cabaret. That's funny.
Shotgun Willie's is the lowest strip club in Colorado.
I don't know. I've never it's been. Lower. I don't know. Just the name sounds. So lower, yeah. I'm. I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, you couldn't go to like a strip club where they have exotic women and just.
What's that, Shotgun Willie's, Dom?
I've never been. I couldn't tell you. I do know that they close down Saturdays.
Saturday was the ratchet. That's
been demolished.
They had bullet wounds.
They knocked the whole block
down. Yeah, bullet holes, probably coke residue.
Pregnant women were stripping, bro. I've been in there with a pregnant woman stripping, dog.
Somebody's grandma.
Not somebody's grandma. No.
It doesn't matter. But you got to be careful in a way you pull it out, especially in public places. Yeah, man, why are you playing with guns, bro? That's my thing with that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's my whole thing. Like, you can't.
Jacob, what'd it do, man?
Was he facing criminal charges?
They just say he's under investigation right now.
Is the NBA doing their investigation, or is it like a criminal investigation?
No, Colorado's doing their investigation, and the NBA has suspended him.
So it's not. I thought it was that he put his hands on somebody.
He hit a 17-year-old.
That's what he's being investigated for. Putting a gun on IG Live is not. That's not illegal. It's the NBA might have a problem with it, and they might say, "No, you're suspended because you're making a look."
That's probably why they suspended him. But I'm sure that there has to be more to it than that. If Colorado's investigating.
Yeah.
Bruh. But as I said before, is it a smart idea to...
I mean, like I said, what's
flashing guns on Instagram?
Like, I agree. Like, nobody's supposed to be like, conceal your...
Nobody needs to let you... nobody needs to let anybody know that they're carrying in the first place. I was tired if you pull it out, you use it, bro.
I mean, you have a prestige career, or let me correct myself. What we think is prestige. Why would you be playing with the damn gun in a strip club?
I think this is going to raise the stock low-key.
Why you feel like that?
I mean, it's just because we understand, like, you know, no press is bad press. And if he can come back and continue to perform, they're just going to give him that Gilbert Arenas title. You feel me? He's going to be in every rap song from here to Kingdom Come. You feel me?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, that's just what it is.
Somebody will take a job.
You feel me? Like, unless they suspend him for real, unless they fire him, they cut him, which I doubt that they're going to do because he's been Memphis's best chance to win a championship. You know what I'm saying? Since when?
Since they had Paul Gasol's brother, and then they had Tony Allen,
and yeah. He's been their best chance at it. So it would be a huge loss to Memphis because he's suspended for what, 50 games?
Yeah, I thought it was indefinitely.
I think I saw somewhere where it's like 50 games. He's suspended for 50 games. I mean, like, how many games really left in the season?
Yeah.
Because we have.
He did do some irresponsible shit, man. You got to have way more respect for guns than that, bro. Like,
I agree.
Just shows your level of ignorance, man.
But like,
that's true.
But I think his stock is going to go up, though. I think that he's going to be more popular. He's going to be in every rap song. When he comes back, he's going to be deeply sorry and apologize. And then, but you feel me? Because we, like, our culture praises shit like that. It's you, like, you know, some podcast. Yeah. Our culture praises stuff like that. So
yeah, I mean, and then again, that's what sells, and the people know that.
That's what people buy into,
and that's why certain things are out there exist. That's why we keep seeing the same formula, whether that be NBA, whether that be, I don't know, body types, whether that be different types of music. It sells because these executives are paying very close attention to what people gravitate towards.
I think they're kind of tailoring what's available to what they want. I'm gonna have to, because, man, there's a lot of people that make music that have a lot of positive music, bro. Like, and they're just as popular as the people that they, you know, push on us.
But we know that negativity sells more than anything. Like, you look at people like, let's do Chance the Rapper and Drake. Right?
Okay.
Chance the Rapper's music is mainly positive, especially now. And I'm a huge fan of Chance the Rapper, but we can't compare the two. And Drake's music isn't very positive. And then just keep it a buck 50, especially now with the 21 Savage joint that he did. He talking about, Drake been talking about killing people for years.
It's true.
You feel what I'm saying? So like, and but that's what sells. That's what sells.
That's true, man.
You got
that's
positive, true. Like positivity hey, well, does not rock.
I was gonna say, man, bro. I gotta jump off, man. But this has been a real nice discussion though.
All right, man. Well, I'll
y'all gonna keep going? Keep it going. Hey, Dom. Hey, it was nice to meet you, brother. Thank you so much for joining, man. I really appreciate it.
Good meeting you.
Yeah. Take care, everybody.
Hey, Eric, you have a
right. Cool. You too.
All right, for sure.
Yeah, man. It's unfortunate that you're able to say that, man. I really, because there's so much music out here, man, that people ignore. You know what I'm saying? Just because of what's pushed on us. You know, it's just, I don't know, man. It's sickening. It's sickening to me because music is like a spiritual thing. You know what I'm saying? What you put in comes out of you. You feel me? So, I don't know. You kind of got to be responsible for yourself in that aspect because, you know. Yeah.
It's nature versus nurture. If you don't know any better, like, I had to have somebody show me better. Okay, mm-hmm. Man, more life than this type of music. Other rappers are doing X, Y, and Z. There's a positive message in some of this music. And then you got to learn. Then you have to learn how to, you know, what is it? Eat what's good and spit out what's not.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Take in, and you got to have your own mind for that, and that takes development and growth. And the masses don't have that. One person can have that, but in mass, it's in short supply.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I definitely agree. And I think that's why the youth, man, is so out of control, bro. We had a short conversation about this. I really want to do a whole segment on it, but it's like the kids are damn near dangerous now, man. Like our little cousins, man, they're little villains.
I don't think it used to be. Yeah. I think that what's different now is just that it's available for everybody to see.
Mm-hmm.
Like our younger uncles, like when our uncles and stuff was younger, man, they were wilding. It's just that you couldn't see it on Instagram before grandma got you to the nursing home, but grandma got you to the family reunion and was like, hey, you know, we all know what happened to, you know what I'm saying, little Tyrone. You know, we're just gonna keep it in the family. Nah, Instagram get to it first and everybody know before grandma know.
Right.
So right. I don't think it's any different than it used to be. It's just on display now for everybody to see.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's 100. And that's what be getting them in trouble, man. Like we talked about the snitching shit. You're telling on yourself, man, when you do that kind of shit.
So everybody, like I watched everything 6ix9ine did because I understand the appeal. Because 6ix9ine wasn't appealing to the hood. He was appealing to them white kids in the suburbs who couldn't touch those things. You feel what I'm saying? Which is why 50 Cent gravitated to him. So I watched everything that he did, and he was pushing that narrative, and it was like, this is cool and okay to do. And I think, and this is just my, this is a hot take in my opinion, I think that's where that teenage angst come from when them kids go start shooting up schools. They see stuff like that. They need that outlet, that gangster, that aggressive outlet, and they don't have that.
Man, come on. There's more constructive ways to release that energy, though. That's what I'm
like. But if you don't know, see, here's the thing. Like, I believe every man should be violent. Every man should learn how to be violent. You feel what I'm saying? And know how to contain it.
Right.
That makes us useful and competent. Because when you say no or don't do something, there's violence that needs to come behind that. But when you get so far out into the weeds where you don't have to display that aggression every day, that aggression is still in you. You ever had a pit bull you never took out?
Yeah. You're going to chew up all your shit, man.
Bro, same concept. It's the same concept. Bro.
He's going to destroy your shit.
But what do we do? But even in our communities, like, what do? Like, we get that aggression out because every day in those inner city situations, when they walk into school, they got to be on guard every day so they know what that's like. Or even when you get the big homie come through, they get you football, basketball programs, those things. So we have outlets.
Right.
You go out in the suburbs, like they got lacrosse and shit. Like what? Like, what are they doing out there to relieve that aggression? Like, what are they really doing?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's just my take on it.
Jacob said, now it's always been like that. Being white in Park Hill fucking sucked. I got jumped all the fucking time.
Oh, jeez.
Hell, bro. What elementary school did you go to, Jacob? That's funny as shit. Yeah, I mean, you know what? I don't really remember. I do remember you, obviously. But I don't remember a whole lot of white boys running around Park Hill like that. That's funny. Yeah. But
I went to a white school.
Oh, what happened?
I went to a white school. I'm from North Carolina. I went to a white school.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So you get to see the difference and how they handle things.
Yeah. Yeah. I ended up graduating from a white school, more of a white school, you know. But yeah, it was a big difference, man. Coming from like where me and Eric started at and shit, bro, it was different, man. Like, it was way more fun. I'll put it that way. It wasn't such a serious thing. Like, a lot of the niggas that was so-called gangbanging at the white school, they was more like still on some smooth shit. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't no life and death shit. Let me see. Oh, you went to Smith? Okay. All right. For sure. Yeah. All right. But you know, it was a big difference for me, man. I enjoyed myself when I went to the white school. Even that, and I actually had more fights at the white school than I did at my black high school. Now that I think about it,
I learned so much more. Like, I learned a lot more at that white school.
Yeah, Smiley. That's where I remember you from, Smiley. Yeah, I learned a lot more at the white school too, man. My world got expanded.
Yeah.
That school, bro, like it was like such a routine being in the hood. We doing the same certain shit, going to these same certain places all the time over and over again. But once I came out, man, look, I was like, this shit cracking, bro. Like, I ain't never going back to the hood, nigga.
Man, like, we was doing stuff like going to museums and going like that's something I still keep with me today. Like, I go to a museum in a minute, like, yeah, let's go. And I got kids now, so I can take
that. Yeah, I remember those days. Yeah, I definitely liked the museum and the field trips and going to botanical gardens and stuff like that. That was always good.
When I was in middle school, in the black school, we went to, in North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, we had the Ladder Plantation. They take you to a plantation.
That's not a good thing to take somebody to.
That's the black school, bro. They took you to a plantation. Took me to a plantation. Every year you would go, and it's like a little museum or whatever. They teach us how to make stuff and everything. Like remember, I don't know if it was a viral video.
Whoa.
There was a viral video of this kid in like Alabama who was talking about how, or he was either in Alabama or Mississippi. I can't remember which one it was, but he was talking about how, like, in his school, they took him to a plantation and let all the kids go out and pick cotton.
I don't know.
Video, and it's hilarious. It's hilarious how he's telling the story. But in the South, bro, that's what we go. That's what we do, bro.
Crazy hell, fucking. No, I'll be pissed if they took my kids to a plant. I will be mad about that.
I'm not mad about it,
bro.
I'm not mad about it at all. Here's why. Because we teach them our history, and these hands-on moments are for them to be able to live it for a second. That's a lesson. When I put my hand on that cotton, on that cotton plant, and I cut my finger, and you was like, they was doing this all that makes it real for me. So when I go buy a house, or every time I get promoted in the army, or every time, that makes it real for me.
That's an interesting take.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, nah, because for you to put it that way is, you know, it's, man, look, all that shit, I don't want my kids to experience none of that shit. We ain't going there. We not having that spirit in us, around us. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I'm thinking. But I get what you're saying, though, for sure. Like, you know, yeah, I don't know. Watching the movies is real enough for me, bro. Just the fact that people were able to do shit like that, man. Like, damn, bro, that shit fucked me up enough.
I'm gonna ask you a question, and then I don't want you to feel like I'm taking over the pocket. Here's a question: if you was back in them days, would they have had to kill you, or would you have just fallen in line? That's a real question.
If I have the energy that I do now, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I might have been beat into submission as a child. You know what I mean? If I was alive back then, but if I was allowed to have the same mind and spirit that I have right now, bro, yeah, I'd have. Or I would have ran away. I would have got away. Or they would have for sure killed me for trying to get away or fight back or saying something slick. You know what I'm saying? Like,
here's the scary part. Watch this. I'm going to say this and I'm going to jump off, man, because I got to get my kids together.
Yeah, yeah.
Scary part about it is that because we're here today, right? Like, that they our ancestors didn't fight back.
You're right, though. You're absolutely right.
That's a scary thing to think about, though, right? Like, we want to believe that we come from a bloodline, but I got a family to think about. That's no, I can't go with you. You feel what I'm saying?
Nah, that's some good shit, for real, because you don't think about it like that. You know what I'm saying? You just think about what your current mind and all that. You know what I mean? Like, your spirit might have been different back then, man. It was like a known thing where you can't be fighting back and saying shit because some other slave owner will check you. You know what I mean? So
think about it. Watch this. When your mother give you that talk about the cops, does she tell you to fight back?
Hell nah.
No.
Do what they tell you to do. Keep your hands in the two. Turn the lights on. Be quiet. Be polite.
Yep.
Because I want you to make it home.
Real you feel tough.
It's that same energy.
That's real shit, man. That's real shit, man. I appreciate your input, bro. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and close it out, man, because I got some shit to do too, man.
I appreciate you having me on, brother.
Yeah, no doubt, man. No doubt, bro. Keep it locked in, bro. We'll definitely have another good conversation, I'm sure.
We'll do.
Yeah, we'll have to, James.
Yeah, man. We'll get it in again, right. Dominique. We'll have some specific shit for you to touch on and shit too, man.
Okay.
You're rolling, man.
No, all right, my brothers. Y'all take it easy.
All right, bro. You too. Well, yeah, man. We appreciate everybody tuning in. I hope you learned something new or something uncommon. You know what I'm saying? If you got specific things that you want to ask Dominique, shoot it to him, man. You see his name right there. It's exactly the same as that on Facebook, man. Tap in with him. And I mean, I'm sure you're not in the business of giving legal advice, you know.
Right.
Maybe you can provide some insight on something that may be unclear.
Yes. Yes.
You know. And he usually be in these comments too, man. So, you know, tap in, man. Something crossed your mind. But I definitely appreciate you, my brother. Feel like it was a productive conversation. We kind of was all over the place. I ain't going to lie. But, you know, I feel like it was still good, man. Somebody could get something from it. Hey, I appreciate you, Jacob, man. Real talk, bro. Appreciate you tapping in, man. For real. But, yeah, man. We're going to get on off of here, man. And we'll holler at y'all next Sunday, 12 o'clock. Y'all keep it smooth. Y'all do y'all's thing. And y'all keep saying, play, yeah, gone. Play it, podcast. Play it.